Maybe you should go and do some contemplating.
Right reason.
I'm the Bachelorette and I'm rapping to you poolside. Here to find true love.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Rose Buddies.
It's a podcast that is like, it's like we collect a garbage can.
It's an ill-advised podcast.
It's an ill-advised podcast about a reprehensible show where we go through 2 hours a week, sometimes 4 hours a week.
Yep.
Thank you, ABC. And we just sort of go through a nation's sort of collective garbage.
And then compromise a lot of things that we stand for.
And we take all those things and we put it in a garbage can. And then you come and you put your earphones on, you download it through, you know, whatever app you use, maybe podcasts, the iPhone one, maybe Skechers, I think is one of them,
yeah.
Pod Boys.
Shape Ups.
And then we come and we say, we hope you're having a good day, nerd, and then we upend this garbage can on top of you and it gets all over you.
Can I say something, Griffin?
Tell me now.
I think there are still funny moments and we can make a funny podcast. And I don't want to be...
It's an interesting prospect.
I don't want to be too down, you know?
I also don't want to be down. And there's one man who's capable of changing that. And his name is Doug ABC. His name is Craig Bachelorette. And all he has to do is make one decision, one casting decision. That's it. Craig, if this one's for you, bud... Let's talk about Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, let's start. So we said this episode of Rose Buddies would cover Monday and Tuesday.
Yes, because fuck, am I not doing two podcasts a week anymore? Last week almost killed me. Here's the thing. It was a fine two episodes of Bachelor in Paradise. It was really this. We're coming off hot and fresh after watching the After Paradise live show, which is... I'm sorry that I opened up the show on such a pessimistic note. It was the worst hour of television that this organization has ever put on the television before. Worst in every conceivable definition of the word.
You know what was bad? Because, like, Jubilee was on it and Sean was on it and I still didn't like it.
Oh, I fucking hated it. Not only that, I mean, one of those two fell from grace in a really dramatic way. Not Jubilee. Yeah. Jubilee, she's shown like a torch in the fucking darkness.
Like a meaty torch.
I want to write her a letter. Can we do that together when we're done recording this? Just write Jubilee a letter thanking her for her service and then for her service.
Yeah, we should.
Tell me what happened on Monday's Bachelor. Oh, same rules apply vis-a-vis Rod. We ended up giving $120 U.S. American dollars to Safe Place, which is good. It's a great cause here in Austin. Look them up. A bunch of people were also making donations to Safe Place. Somebody matched us. That was very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Erica Huff ran a candle drive for her candle company called Wick Habit. She sold over $300 worth of merchandise and donated it all to Safe Place.
Thank you very much. Yeah. It's a great cause. We do have a baby on the way. So if we could avoid saying Rod's real Christian name like a dozen times this episode, that would be sick.
I don't think it's sustainable for us to donate over.
You said it a lot. You always $100. Called me on it. You didn't realize. I think you said it two or three
times. Well, if you had caught me, maybe I would have been better.
Yeah, it's a good point. Okay, so let's get into this shit.
Monday night's episode starts. Rod is leaving. And, you know, ABC teased that it was going to be this big, protracted exit. It was not.
The edits for this season of Bachelor in Paradise, the trailer edits and the, like, not even the trailer edits, the way that they're editing sound effects and Foley work and shit into the actual episodes of the show is really, really bad and not that hard to spot. But they made it seem like he stuck around and was, like, throwing shit around and, like, knocking shit. That must have happened while he was intoxicated,
yeah.
Yeah, and then they...
Oh, I will say, this week we watched the intro.
Oh, yeah, we found eyeballs on that one.
And that, I feel like, really captures the tone of the show, or what it used to be.
Yeah.
And it's just always so nice to start out the show that way. You just feel like, yeah, we're going to have fun here today, guys.
And there were a few moments this week that sort of encapsulated what I love so much about Bachelor in Paradise, in that it's trash, but like in the most delectable way, like trash corn, popcorn that you fish out of a trash and you eat it. And it's not the best popcorn you've ever eaten, but it's free. And it's so funny that you're eating popcorn out of the trash.
Have you told your story about the trash bag of popcorn?
I used to work at this was... I'm drawing from experience. I used to work at a movie theater. I'd work at the concession stand. And what do you think they do with that, all that popcorn? They just throw it away. And so one day, I lived around the corner from the movie theater. I just threw it all into like a gigantic, like 40-gallon industrial-sized garbage bag that was clean. It was unused. And then we took it home to my roommates, played Star Fox 64, and we ate a bunch of it. And at one point, we dumped an entire jar of Nutella in the bag and shook it up. And that was cooking. That's cooking, is what that is. Call me Bobby Flay, if you will.
I think we've talked about this before. Okay, so Rod exits. I don't really want to talk about it any more than that.
No, it was fucking nothing. Okay. Like, it was literally 20 seconds.
Okay, so then it is time for a new contestant to arrive.
A new tribute.
And the person that arrives is Leah, who is from Ben's season.
Yes.
And Leah is infamous for...
Infamous. Quote-unquote infamous. She did one thing.
Yeah, she kind of was a non-player most of the season. And then as Lauren B. became the clear frontrunner, she tried to put questions in Ben's mind about Lauren B. being fake.
Which was from whole cloth, like not legit. This happened at the fucking water and the ocean pig date too. And she to yeah. violate the sanctity of the ocean pig date, there is no jail bad enough for Leah to be in.
And probably the most egregious part of this was that Ben went to Lauren, said there have been comments made to me about you being fake. Lauren came back to the group, said, "Who would say that? Who did that?" And Leah denied it outright.
Yeah.
So when she showed up, some people knew who she was. The twins in particular seemed pretty hostile. The thing about Bachelor in Paradise is people will continue to arrive late in the show, and the later you arrive, the harder it is for you to find a match.
Yeah.
And that was...
Especially if you're... I don't want to be particularly mean to anybody on the show who doesn't, like, deserve it. But there's kind of a... We're in kind of a middle of the pack territory now. I'm going to talk a lot this episode because I think it, like, defined a lot of the drama that happened this week. I think there's, like, tiers of... T-I-E-R-S, tiers of, like, bachelorette contestants.
Yeah.
If you go for that high tier category, you better play to win, because if you don't get it, you will be sent home, sent packing. But, like, Brant... Like, we got a new dude in this episode we just watched named Brandon, who I literally... I've never seen before in my life. I think ABC is gaslighting me.
No, see, I think I remember him.
Okay.
But I'm not 100%. Anyway, we'll get to him.
We'll get to it.
So Leah shows up. Leah gets a date card. So that is the one advantage you get, is if you arrive late, you immediately get a date card so you can kind of throw yourself into the ring. And she looks around and says, "Where's Rod? Is Rod here?" And
she's heartbroken that
everyone's
Rod
like, "Yeah, you totally missed
Rod. Dang.
Totally missed Rod.
Aw, beans."
So then Leah is kind of setting out to try and find somebody to take on this date, and she ends up picking Nick. And Nick at this point has his eyes on Amanda, mm-hmm. So he is not especially receptive to this, but yeah, there's a thing that happens before Nick and Leah go on their date. Griffin, I don't know if you know what I'm about to mention.
I don't. I can't remember anything.
But it made everyone very uncomfortable.
You could have described any of the 15 things that have happened in the last 2 days.
We see Emily and Haley go up and join.
Oh my God.
Jared and Vinny in the little dining area.
This was they're just getting too goofy with it. I say goofy, that's too like light an adjective to describe it, but the twins were eating bananas at the same time. And the Bachelor put sex music over it.
Yeah, so I get the sense that Emily and Haley are kind of up for anything. They're kind of wacky, and they're willing to kind of...
I like them this season.
Go for it.
I like them this season more than I did during their season of The Bachelor.
Well, they still say some kind of catty stuff, though, about people.
They say catty stuff from time to time, but they are far from the, like, meanest,
I don't think they're evil.
They said some stuff that made me kind of giggle. They seem like they're having a fun time and are totally willing to... They're totally... on board with the, like, comedic twin angle, the straight up parent trap angle. And which makes me feel like less bad, but still it's kind of gross that ABC is completely making it like a novelty.
Yeah, it was kind of this gross moment.
But this was unspeakably awful. Like, this was next level bad. The edit, sometimes it's like funny, like Claire talking to
a raccoon.
Like, that was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen, because it was the first time it had happened, right? Like,
yeah.
This was
Well, that was new Bachelor in Paradise, right?
That was
right?
The first season of Bachelor in Paradise, and Claire was a woman who was on Juan Pablo's season, was the runner-up in that season, and, like, told him off, which is, like, everybody had been waiting for, because Juan Pablo was a shithead. And then she had a bad experience in Bachelor in Paradise and was venting her troubles, and they edited it to make it look like she was telling a very receptive raccoon, and it was very fucking funny, only now they've, like, done it, like, four or five times to poor Claire. So, like, the edits for comedy, they are leaning into it. This was, like, somebody went way overboard, because it wasn't funny. It was, like, really super-duper pervy and gross and bad.
Yeah, I didn't like it. And so then we cut to Lace. So Lace, you know, is recently without a partner since Rod left, and she's worried about her fate. Because at this point, they haven't had a rose ceremony yet.
No.
And so she's talking to Jorge.
Jorge is the bartender for Bachelor in Paradise. Yeah. I don't know if we've extolled his virtues enough, but
he was on last season at Bachelor in Paradise.
We weren't doing the podcast back then.
I know. But he's familiar to us, is what I'm saying.
He's beloved.
Yeah. And then Lace is talking to Vinny, and saying that she's concerned and that she was kind of vibing with Grant. And vibing, just so you know, is not a word I would normally use, but it is.
But this show has buried it deep in your lexicon.
It's common parlance on the show. And so Vinny takes it upon himself to go to Grant and say, hey, Lace is kind of into you and would love to spend more time with you. And so Grant goes to talk to Lace, and they kind of reconnect in that moment.
Yeah.
So Amanda is telling us, the viewer, that she likes Nick, and she's kind of disappointed that Nick is going on this date. But she's also kind of skeptical of Nick and doesn't know whether or not he's just like a super smooth operator or if they really have something. And then we see Nick go on the date with Leah. They're in this weird, it's like they're at a street festival and maybe a carnival, and it's hard
to tell. But like a very bad carnival.
Yeah, it just seemed like there was nothing going on, and so they just threw a bunch of stuff together.
Like a carnival that would take place in like a preschool parking lot.
Because doesn't he swing one of those big hammers to like hit a bell?
I don't remember anything about this. I don't remember anything about this date. I barely remember anything about this episode.
Yeah, they do end up kissing. Nick and Leah do, but it doesn't, I mean, there's no super big sparks.
It's weird that we can tell how good a kiss is between two people doing a kiss on TV now.
I know.
It's really weird that that's an actual, like, codified metric in my mind that is etched in stone. I can tell when people are feeling it, and I can judge the quality of other human kisses because of how much I've watched this show. I'm like a dog show judge for human kisses. Like, I know all of the weird stuff, like all the techniques.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's why I'm so fucking good at it. But I don't.
A kissing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Because I'm like Mega Man, you know, I bust them up and I learn their techniques.
Because you lift up the tail, you check
lift
between
the
legs.
Tail, I check the legs, check for the heat.
Oh, God. Look at the teeth.
Look for the teeth.
Well, not look for the teeth.
Find them. Where
they
go. You
usually know where the teeth are.
We have 4 hours of television
okay,
to talk
okay,
about.
Okay, we get a scene of Amanda talking to her kids on the phone. She has two kids that are at home right now. And
the kids are like, who's this?
Kind of, oh, Griffin.
Come on. Give me something. Okay. All right. Back into the breach. Here we go.
So Leah and Nick get back from their date. And Leah's kind of debriefing the date with the other ladies. And then a date card arrives. And who is the date card for? Well, it's for Nick.
Yeah, which is a surprise. Round usually whoever is, whichever gender is giving out the roses that week, the other gender gets the date card. So if the men are in power, which is a weird way of thinking about it, but like if the men are the ones giving out the roses, then the women are the ones that get the date cards and get to give them out. Yeah, almost invariably.
Huh. So Nick gets a date card, and some poor producer, I have to believe, coaxed Leah into saying, "Oh, wow, I'll get to have another date with Nick. Clearly he'll pick me again and we'll have two dates."
No, Leah.
No, Leah. No. Nick picks Amanda.
And then this sets Leah off on, I don't think there's going to be a lot more to talk about vis-a-vis Leah, but her whole arc for the episode was like tragic heroine of like, I've had my heart broken. I've only been here one day. Why did bad things always happen to me? And it's like,
well, and she's got that hustle on, though. I mean, to a point we make a lot.
Does, yeah.
She does not roll over and die. No, she gets out there and she tries to find somebody else. She hydrates the
hustle for sure.
Yeah.
But this I don't know. You've been there for one day. You're in super pretty Mexico. Like, have a good time. I'm sorry you didn't get to go on two consecutive dates.
So as Amanda's getting ready for the date, Leah, I think, is trying to make friends in a weird way that women do sometimes where she's like kind of teasing Amanda. She's like, "Oh my gosh, I have the same makeup palette and the same bronzer. Stop trying to be me. We're like exactly the same, Amanda."
I think boys do that stuff too, but just,
well, not usually about like
makeup,
bronzer.
Yeah.
But the thing I will say, much in the way that all the dudes look the same at the end of JoJo's season, I was not surprised that Amanda and Leah had the same makeup palette.
Yeah.
Nor would I be surprised if the twins also had that palette, because they all look exactly the same to me.
I think that's fair. And I think maybe not exactly the same, but I think most of the women there look very similar.
Yeah, with like Sarah and Carly too.
Maybe, I think that's just what that good, good, close to the equator sun does to you. Gives you that tan skin, gives you that sun-kissed blonde hair. You know what I mean?
So if I, let's say I went to the equator.
Sun-kissed blonde hair, beautiful bronzed skin, and some sort of beaded necklace would just appear on you. Mm-hmm. And it would look so good, babe. I'd make sure you put on sunscreen and stuff.
So the twins are telling us, the viewer, they're seeing this kind of rivalry between Amanda and Leah. And the twins are like, Amanda is 5 million times prettier. They are very anti-Leah and continue to be anti-Leah for the remainder of her time in
Everyone
paradise.
Is very pro-Amanda, and Amanda's very, she's very nice, but like, she's, like every guy when he shows up is like, I'm gonna go talk to Amanda. I'm interested in Amanda.
Yeah, I don't totally...
Which is no slight against Amanda, but there's a lot of eligible bachelorettes there.
Yeah, I don't totally understand it. I was trying to think, okay, well, how is Amanda different than the rest of the women? And she doesn't have a twin.
Yeah.
So that's different.
There's one of her, is what you're saying.
Uh-huh. She doesn't have a history of getting really drunk and doing anything crazy.
That we know of.
But as far as like what makes her remarkable,
her name is a palindrome.
No.
A Danma, that's pretty close.
She's a relatively unknown person. I mean, she's been around, obviously, but like we don't know a lot about her. We just know she's nice. So there's not anything to really hold against her.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so she's super great. Everybody loves her. So Sarah at this point is also getting kind of nervous because the rose ceremony's coming up. She hasn't really connected with anybody yet. And so she is trying to kind of figure out who her person's going to be. So she goes and hangs out with Vinny for a little bit. And they have what seems like a really good conversation. Vinny's like, you know, I'm just here to find my best friend, you know, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm big on physical touch, and he's kind of like touching her.
Which then kicked off a whole love language conversation with our big group of friends, which, by the way, for my friends, I made macarons. They're pretty
good. Yeah, they were very delicious.
Thank you.
We talked a lot about love languages because I went on the website and took the quiz myself. Words of affirmation are big for me.
You look really nice today.
Thank you. That's not exactly what it is, though.
Well.
I mean, it's a little bit.
Okay.
It would be more like, you look really nice, and that's one of the reasons that I care so much about you.
You've always looked and will always look very nice.
There you go. See, that's good.
I like that you look nice.
I feel affirmed by you.
Thank you. That's my love language.
But yeah, there's acts of service, there's physical touch.
We can't get into what the love languages are.
I want you to figure out what yours is.
Probably.
There's tokens of affection or something is one of them.
Is pizza a token of affection? Okay.
Well, yeah.
I hate to be reductive, but.
No, you like it when I make pizza.
She makes really good pizza, y'all. It's not, I don't want to sound like I'm pushing the gender norm. I feel like we both cook pretty fairly equally, but you
for make your it, friends, you cook all the time.
Yeah, but you make a damn good pizza.
Thank you, baby.
Affirmed. You've been affirmed.
Thank you.
And you look nice while you make the pizza. And I like that. I like both the things. Affirmation. You got affirmed.
And that'll hold me over for like
a week.
Yeah, at least.
You're like a cactus. Or you're just my little succulent plant. Oh, we got to move so much faster.
Okay, I'm so sorry. So this is when Carly and Evan start kind of exploring the space a little bit.
Exploring each other's bodies.
They spend a lot of time like talking and hanging out. And Carly says, you know, that she's been wondering what it would be like to kiss him. And Evan,
we've all had that thought.
And Evan's kind of, he's not making any moves, but he's doing this kind of like weird, like leaning his head against her, like, oh, I'm so tired, and then kind of leaning on her. And Carly's like, why will he not make any moves? And so they kind of get up.
He's a nervous boy.
Yeah. They kind of get up to go up the stairs to like call it a night. And then they do kiss, finally. And then they both kind of say, all right, well, good night. And they kind of scamper away. And Evan says it was incredible and that there were fireworks.
He said there were butterflies and fireworks, which he either then said four more times throughout the next episode and a half, or they kept re-editing in that one.
And then we cut to Carly, and Carly is telling Sarah that it was terrible.
Y'all, I love Carly. And I, you know, I still do. She got pretty savage.
She did. And I was telling Griffin, some of the stuff she said kind of sounds like something like, you know, gal pals would say to each other if they were like on a really bad date.
Or if you were a person who was on a television show who was told to be and wanted to be memorable and entertaining. You go too far. I get that. I mean, if I apply that same...
But I will
judgment
say
to everybody, then it's doesn't hold up. But
I will say Carly, this is not Carly's first show. She knows better.
Yeah.
She should have known. I'm going to say this stuff. It's going to be on air and it's going to embarrass Evan and make me look bad.
Yeah. He's like a real dude. He's like a real sensitive dude.
Yeah, I think a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. It would be hurt finding this out. Like, he's got kids and like his kids shouldn't have to see stuff like that. It's a bummer. Evan did do some genuinely kind of weird things on this date, we found out, only because of this after show thing, which is the only thing of value to come out of the after show. But Carly also, I want to point out, did apologize afterwards on Twitter. Or so, I don't know if she apologized, but she was like, I went too far.
Yeah.
She's like, I appreciate that.
She says stuff like, I don't even know how this man has kids.
That's rough.
Suggesting that, like, his sexual performance... His ding-dong doesn't work.
And we all know, like...
Is so bad.
You can say what you want to say about Evan. His ding-dong works fucking super good.
He's got three kids,
but also he's, like, a...
And he's an expert.
Like, I'm pretty good at video games because I cover them for a living, and I have for a decade. He does ding-dong stuff for a living. His ding-dong game is probably super on point. I hope words of affirmation are his love language, because I think that's a pretty good one.
So at this point, Lace and Grant have reconnected. We have some scenes of them kissing on the beach. And then they decide to go back to a bedroom. Lace is telling us, the viewer, that Grant has a banging body.
He does. Can't deny that.
And they get in bed together, and Lace has the smart idea to cover up the camera with a blanket, but it does not help because we get to hear everything that is happening in that room. And there,
which was in some, the captions were somehow more explicit than just like if we had seen full, if there was full Penny, then like
they went as far as to identify who was moaning and when.
And somehow the camera became uncovered or something, and they were both still fully dressed. So I don't.
There was a suggestion that the blanket fell off post act.
Yeah, I don't.
And then
know.
Lace looks like shocked, and she points at the camera.
I almost got into like a point where I was going to start hypothesizing whether or not these two consenting adults had sex or not. I really don't like where I'm at right now.
Okay. Should we leave it at that for that day?
Leave them alone to their bedroom acts.
So the next day, and this is the shortest day ever in paradise, because we get to spend a few seconds watching Leah inflate a giant swan.
Y'all, some funny stuff has happened this season so far in this Buckwild television show that is Bachelor in Paradise. This was the craziest thing I had ever seen, because from a storytelling standpoint, it'd be like, what happened that day? Guys, we have no footage for today! We got Leah blowing up an inflatable toy, and then it cuts tonight?
Yeah, so we see Leah inflating this giant swan and then proudly taking it to the beach as if, look at this great thing I did. And then the sun sets and it's nighttime.
It was it was like, I'm wondering if the whole cast got together and was like, listen, the whole rod thing, that sucked. None of us signed up for this. You guys are going to give us one day where we just party for real and we don't have to worry about you filming us boning or whatever. And you know, we'll have a cookout. The crew can come. It'll be great. And they're like, okay, so that was just the day the earth stood still for the cast of Bachelor in Paradise. And they actually had a great time.
Yeah. So that was it. That was all we got to see for that day. And then it's time for the cocktail party before the rose ceremony.
Did we skip Nick and Amanda's date? We did. We vaulted right over it. If you didn't take any notes, it's fine. It wasn't a very good date.
Here's what I wrote. So they go to a bar. Amanda talks about her big heart. Nick says he's attracted to big personality. And Amanda tries to affirm that that's what she has. and it feels like a job interview.
It super duper does.
Because he's asking her questions. She's responding very appropriately.
And then there's a lot of like, I'm having a great night. Me too.
Amanda says it's like the best first date she's had.
And that was a bummer.
And they go to a bonfire and Nick says, quote, I love fires.
I love fires. I love watching fires.
And that was all I wrote from that date.
And then they kissed.
There's a suggestion that they have a lot of chemistry, but there is nothing about.
You sure the fuck didn't see it. It was the swan day of dates. Just like not a lot of good footage to come out of this one.
I would say less dramatic than the swan day.
Yeah, swan day. At least you really had some. Like there was one point where Leah looked like really exhausted and frustrated.
And something got
accomplished
on that day.
Yeah, and also like a person like took on a project and stuck with it. There was a whole arc. Like there was a while there where I was like, that goose is not getting blown up. And then Leah gets right back on the horse or the goose, and she just like goes for it. And then like you see her walking on the beach, and she's holding the goose, and I'm like, yes, she did it. And then she turns and looks up at the whole gang. She says, look, everybody, it's Swan Lake. And I said, that's a beach. And then I said, life's a beach. And then
that was a good day.
It was a good day.
So it's a cocktail party before the rose ceremony. And Carly is kind of running through who we think will end up with who.
So Grant and Lace, her and Evan, because despite the fact that the kiss was not super good for her, like there was a lot of like, well, it wasn't a good kiss, but there's no reason to say no right now, you know?
Yeah, she says, this year in paradise, there haven't been a lot of connections right away, so there's a lot of wild cards. Yeah. And one of those, for example, Jubilee and Emily are both into Jared.
Yeah.
And so during the cocktail party, Sarah sets up a little more one-on-one time with Vinny, and says, you know, I really enjoyed our time together last night. And Vinny says, oh, yeah, but there's this one thing I wish I would have done. And then he smooches her. And then Izzy, who has been spending time with Vinny also, steals Vinny away. And Izzy says that she wants validation. And then Vinny smooches her, too.
Put him in a straitjacket.
Yeah, this was weird. I feel like Vinny and Izzy, like, they were kind of setting them out to be like, on Bachelor in Paradise, sometimes people meet episode one and you don't really think much of it. And then in the last episode of it, they get married and are more in love than anybody who's ever been on the show before.
Uh-huh. That's what Jade and Tanner were kind of like.
So Jade and Tanner were like, I feel like actually that wasn't exactly episode one. I feel like Tanner had to work for that. I feel like there's some competition there.
Oh, that's true.
There's a bit of a love triangle or perhaps a rhombus. But yeah, and then I don't know. I wasn't expecting DJ Vincent to go smooch somebody else other than Izzy. Although, you know, it's paradise, baby.
So Leah knows that she's kind of scrambling at this point. So she's like, "Well, I know that Nick wants someone who goes for what she wants," and then says all these kind of disparaging things about Amanda, just like, oh, well, I don't know about a man that would want that type of woman that already has kids.
What did she say? She said something about moms being needy and dependent.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you not get it that bad? Like, how do you... I get being, like, not at that place in your life or whatever, but how can you be that detached from reality that you think that... like, having kids makes you needy and dependent and not, like, the opposite of that.
Yeah. Now, Leah has kind of a sad story in Paradise, and you're not really rooting for her either while she's having that story. But so Leah pulls Nick aside and makes it so much worse because she's like, yeah, you know, I know that you've been through this before. You know, and that this is all old hat for you. And Nick's like, oh, well, I mean, really only twice. And she's like, oh, but more times than you should have. And just like being very assertive, just like, look at me, you know, like, look at me while I'm talking to you. And she's like, you get nervous and you look away, Nick. And Nick's like, well, I'm just trying to figure out what to say. And you can tell that she's adopted this persona that she thinks he'll be attracted to, but it just, it's clumsy.
Nick says in no uncertain terms, I'm actually going to go with Amanda.
Yeah. Tonight. He's like, my initial thought is Amanda.
Because her name's a palindrome, and I just think that's so fun. And then he gets up and walks away.
It would be if it was like a mama.
A mama. That's exactly her name. A mama.
Okay.
A mama.
So Leah, who is ever resourceful, goes immediately to what she calls Plan B and pulls Daniel aside.
Daniel should be nobody's Plan B. How did we get here?
I don't know.
What was the long and winding road that led me to Daniel?
It was his... courtship of Sarah.
He's so soft. I want to take care of him.
But he said some really heinous stuff.
Oh, he definitely has. No, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But it's coming from a softness.
Okay. Amanda has a similar... I'm sorry, not Amanda. Leah has a similar interaction with Daniel to the one that Izzy had, where she's trying to connect with him. And so Leah... is talking about how she has layers like an onion, or somehow the conversation turns towards many layers.
Swear to God, Daniel starts quoting Shrek here.
And Daniel says, oh, are you going to make me cry? And Leah's like, oh, no. And he's like, well, then you're not like an onion. And then says that maybe if she has one layer, she's more like an orange.
Yeah, she says, like, no, there's just more to me under like, what you see on the outside. He's like, then you have one layer. You're like an orange. It's like, Daniel, that's you fucking beautiful mind. I love it.
And so Leah is like, you know, are you feeling this at all? Do you think something could happen between us? And Daniel's like, well, I saw you in your swimsuit the other day. And I was like, damn, girl.
Beautiful.
And so Leah tells us, the viewers, she says, you know, he's really, really awkward, but it doesn't matter if I get to stay. Because
you don't get him.
And then we get a montage where Daniel's like, he tells us, Daniel's speed dating tonight. And we see him go talk to the twins.
Talks to Jubes.
Talks to Sarah. Just all over the place trying things out. Because the men get to give out the roses tonight and she wants to figure out.
He's really sweet with Sarah. Which is, and this is where, yeah. I mentioned the ascent of Daniel. He's actually genuinely, like, nice. He's like, I think you're the coolest girl here and I think we have a lot. You know, in common, we both seem like we're, like, on the same level. It's like, Daniel, that's the first legitimate thing that you've said that didn't have some sort of bird metaphor in it.
Yeah, he seems really clumsy with everybody except Sarah.
Yeah.
With Sarah, he gets super smooth.
I wouldn't go that far.
Super smooth in comparison.
He is very earnest.
He doesn't talk about onions.
We gotta get to this rose ceremony.
Okay, so Grant gives a rose to Lace. Nick gives a rose to Amanda. Evan to Carly. Jared picks Emily.
And that there was sort of a tension point there of, if he didn't give it to Jubilee, then Jubilee's probably
gone. Yeah. So that means Haley gets to stay because Emily was picked. Vinny chooses Izzy.
Mm-hmm. Not Sarah. There is another tension point there.
And then Daniel says, you know, guys really, you know, save the best for last, and picks Sarah. Which means both Jubilee and Leah go home.
Yeah. It's very, very sad. Love Jubilee. Sad. Again, bright shining torch, star in my sky tonight, really saved
this
me.
This is just, it's not the right format for
not
Jubilee.
Not the right format for her, but also her and Leah did the same thing, and this is where I want to talk about this.
Oh, okay.
Of every fucking time that Jared, well, I guess Jared was only on the show last year, but every woman that came on the show was like, gotta get up with Jared, and they all went home. Every single woman went home. And Nick is, like, sort of the same idea of, like, this hot commodity. And if you go for somebody who's, especially somebody who's, like, already kind of spoken for, you better play to win. Because you just sit home.
And you got
to
be careful with that first pick. Because if that first pick rejects you, everyone has seen you go for that first pick. And they know that your preference isn't really with them.
And Jubilee, like, was talking about before everybody was even gotten there, she was like, I'm only here for one guy.
Yeah.
Like, Jubes, no, you gotta open yourself up to the process. What if it had been you and Daniel? You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't even know.
Yeah, no, she never will. So then after the rose ceremony, Josh arrives. Josh is from Andy's season. We talked a little bit about him last episode.
Yeah. If you don't want to read Andy's book, there's, like, some excerpts out there, which I didn't, like, when we mentioned it on the show, like, I didn't know that Andy had even written a book. And then reading some of the excerpts, like, hoo boy, holy shit. There's some not great stuff in there vis-a-vis Josh.
Yeah. From what I've seen, Josh was very possessive of her.
Said, like, if she didn't post some of it's, like, upsetting, like, shouting her down at a wedding and being generally emotionally abusive. But some of it is, like, if she didn't post a Man Crush Monday of him on Instagram every Monday, like, he would get pissed off about it. Which, like, we're laughing, like, in being a part of that relationship would have been a fucking genuine nightmare. But that is, like, the most shitlord dude, like, behavior I cannot even imagine.
Well, and Nick says, you know, there's some stuff about me in that book too, and the stuff about me is true, so I have to believe the stuff about Josh is true too.
I think he says mostly true, which is, like, kind of an interesting confession, because there's some not great stuff about Nick in there, not about him being emotionally abusive per se, but, like, what Nick did, and it's important, I guess, that you know this, is he outed that they hooked up during the fantasy suites, I guess, is how it happened. It was the after the final rose, so Andy had just chosen Josh, and they were engaged at this point. And then during the after the final rose, he was like, I guess I have one question, and that is, why did you have sex with me in the fantasy suite and then not pick me? Which is, like, God, the past few seasons, it's been such a not, like, I feel like it hasn't been that big a deal that people have sex in the fantasy suites, which I guess is a good thing in the long term. But this was, like, unprecedented and kind of grody. I mean, it's pretty grody behavior of just, like, why did you fuck me if you didn't want to marry me? Like, doing this in a way to, like, embarrass her on this program.
Yeah, and then immediately after that, he goes on Caitlyn's season and has sex with Caitlyn well before they even get to the fantasy suites. Like, clearly he doesn't...
Which we don't give a shit about.
But I know, like, but clearly he doesn't have a problem with having sex before marriage.
Yeah, it was a weirdly hyper-puritanical, like, thing for him to bust out. Anyway.
It was weird.
Yeah.
So Josh arrives. Since he is just arriving, he gets a date card. All the women are talking about how attractive he is. And then he kind of systematically starts pulling women away to talk to them. Nick seems kind of nervous and says, you know, we do have a history of being attracted to the same women, referencing Andy.
A lot of people there didn't put that together. A lot of people, they were like, oh, shit, that was you.
Yeah.
That was you too on Andy season. Holy shit.
Yeah. And then... Josh starts talking to Amanda, which is the woman that Nick's excited about. And they're talking about Amanda's kids and her daughters. And Josh says that he has no daughters yet.
Oh, man. I have no daughters yet.
He says, I have no daughters. And then in the next breath says, but I do have a dog that has had cancer.
And we just had her leg removed and she's doing great now. And it's like, that's the saddest thing I could imagine, but not even, what are you talking about? I don't have daughters, but I have a very sick dog. What?
It was almost like currency. Like, I see that you have something that you're serious about and shows that you're a serious person. I also have a serious thing. It is this dog. Let me tell you about it. Which, okay.
All right.
But it felt clumsy. And so then Josh decides to ask Amanda out on the date. And Nick is not super happy because Josh never went to Nick and said, hey, is this okay? Amanda never came to him and said, hey, is this okay? Daniel picks up on this. Daniel's like, how you doing, Nick?
And Nick, sweet Daniel.
And Nick says, I'm dealing with it, Daniel. Which
he's,
I enjoyed.
So
Josh and Amanda get to go on a yacht date, and they're on the yacht. Amanda brings up the book that Andy wrote, and this is when Josh says that he was depicted in a false way, that is a fictional story, and that it is full of lies and egregious things, and then Amanda apologizes for even bringing it up. And tells us, the viewer, that she believes that he gave a good answer.
Grape job, everybody. Here's the grape job sticker. It goes right on the report card, ABC.
It reminded me a lot of when JoJo confronted Robbie about the tabloids. And Robbie was just like, you know, this terrible thing happened to me. This woman did this thing. And I've it's really unfortunate. And then JoJo's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
And Josh also does this thing. He does it a couple times, throughout this two episode arc where he's just like, I don't know why I should depict me, but you know, God knows the truth. And just like, you know, I'm just following God. It's like, that's like you talking about your dog, your sick dog, when Amanda talks about her daughters, like, has nothing to do with any... That's the most, like, transparent, like, this book, Andy wrote about it, I saw you two on television, and you got engaged on television, I did see that, and she did write in the book about all this horrible shit you did. He's like, psh, yeah, but, I mean, just following God. It's like, Josh, what are you talking about?
Yeah, to be clear, like, you know, he can feel how he feels about it, but he could have just done a classy thing and been like, you know, it was a messy breakup, it was public, it was uncomfortable, and I have regrets, and I'm sure she does too. You know, just something very kind of middle of the road.
But no, it was like, she's a sick person with a sick mind that misremembers how good I am.
Yeah, a fictional story. But anyway, they snorkel and they have a good time. and they do a lot of smooching.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we get inner cuts of Nick on the beach by himself, just looking sad, like skipping rocks. And then we cut back to the other tortured love story, which is Evan and Carly. So Evan is very excited about Carly. He's still kind of luxuriating in their date.
That's a really good gerund.
I should mention, we didn't talk, so right after the kiss, there's this scene where Evan's back in his room.
It's immediately before Carly reveals like that it was bad and she didn't like
and
the
kissing.
And he's
kind of gingerly just stroking his chest with his hands.
Nothing weird about that. I do that all the time.
Just kind of rubbing his fingers across his ribs, just smiling to himself about how great that kiss was. And so the next day he's kind of still in that glow and he says a sentence that I wrote down. He says, love is a connection you choose every day.
It's been one day though, my boy. It's been the one day though.
Yeah. So he's in it super deep. And then this is when Carly really starts to kind of start trashing Evan. Says, you know, my brothers told me to stop dating feminine guys. And
she said her first boyfriend turned out gay and something along the lines of it looks like it's happened again. And it's like, yo, Carly, pump the brakes on that shit.
All of this is a precursor to Evan getting a date card and immediately asking Carly to go on it.
Yeah.
And Carly is telling us that she's not excited at all.
The date card stuff is absolutely, crabsolutely, the Bachelor producers watching what people are saying and watching what's happening and then like deploying those to particular recipients to like add to the drama. So if you're tangled up in something, rest assured you're going to end up either getting a date card or getting asked out on a date.
Because the dates in Paradise are especially low budge and kind of thrown together. Like they don't seem as wildly orchestrated as Bachelor, Bachelorette. So you know that they can kind of, at the drop of a hat, switch people in
People in and drop them in to like accentuate. I also think that the people they send in and when they send them in and potentially, depending on how tinfoil hat you want to get about it, who they tell them to like go after is dictated by what is actually happening in real time in the house. Because how could it be like two people are having like a love affair and then somebody's like, I hope nothing happens to break it up. And then a person shows up instantly right then and says like, I am here for this person who you just said that about.
Yeah. No, so are you saying that the new people that come in as the season progresses are deployed? Operatives. Oh, okay. So they're all waiting in the wings.
Manchurian candidates.
And they're like, Josh, go.
Who do you want me to go for, Dad? Chris Harrison just like tips his fedora up. A mama. I'm the only one saying her name right.
Go make out with a mama.
Go make out with a mama.
So the date between Evan and Carly is...
It was so bad, guys.
Is so, so sad. They're walking out into what I'm guessing they assume is going to be like a restaurant or maybe a live concert. And they enter this group of people screaming and Chris Harrison and a woman standing around. And
as soon as that crowd appeared, I actually stood up and walked away from the TV, which I think is the first time it's happened to me watching this show in a while. It's like an actual involuntary response I have sometimes to things that make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, see, I thought you were going to do something.
No, I literally just got up and went into the kitchen. And it's because they could not have picked two worse people to spring this big crowd of people, of love spectators on.
So I believe it was Sean Lowe's season where they did a Guinness Book of World Records challenge.
Yes.
They had to do the longest kiss.
Yes.
And so when Chris Harrison said, we're going to go for a world record today, I immediately thought of that date.
The world's longest on-screen kiss, which is something ghoulish, like 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
Which I would love to know what TV show had that record before The Bachelorette. Because The Bachelorette is popcorn, is trash corn. Like, of course they would get something like that. Was there an episode of, like, Chicago Hope where just two characters just, like, kissed uninterrupted from one commercial to the other?
No, it wasn't Chicago Hope. It was actually According to Jim.
It's Life According to Jim. 7 rules if you want to date my teenage Jim.
So then I have a moment of relief.
It was dinosaurs.
The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
It was Sweet Life and Zach and Cody, and it's like, who? What?
Her?
Her? Who, me? Which one? It was who? Which one of us is it then? Out with it then, me or her? Which was this TV show spinoff of the Mary-Kate and Ashley movie.
It was Zach and Cody, Mary-Kate and Ashley, and Kenan and Kel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big crossover.
It was really good, though. Such a good show.
So then I felt a moment of relief because they're just going to eat some really hot peppers. And I was like, oh, cool. Just hot peppers. But then after they eat the peppers, they have to kiss for at least 90 seconds.
Which is, that's not, no, I'm sorry. That's just not a record. Nobody's ever said like, okay, we'll eat peppers and kiss for 90 seconds and we'll break a record. Was it longest on-screen kiss while people had spicy produce in their mouths? That's a really, really esoteric category.
Yeah, how would you even search that? Like, if you flip to the index, how would you get to that
longest
entry?
On-screen kiss between two people,
comma, peppers,
who were holding an egg in their butts each.
Oh.
Each holding an egg in their butt. And this is the hard-boiled category. If it's a soft-boiled egg, that's, ooh, a whole different category. It definitely affects how long the kiss can be on screen.
Okay. What about, like, a raw egg? Would that even be possible?
Longest on-screen kiss from two people who also had a full-size original Game Boy in their mouths. Let's see. Let's go back and look. It looks like this record is 45 seconds, and it was season one of ER. That show ran for so long. What a weird sort of foundation for it to be built on.
Yeah. If you next time you see an interview with George Clooney, like, see if they bring that up, because
what about the scene where you put the full size Game Boy, OG first gen Game Boy in your mouth, and you and Moira Downey? No. Who is the woman?
Maura Tierney.
Maura Tierney kissed each Game Boy'd up.
Uh-huh. And then they beat the level of Mario that they were on.
The level of Mario. Oh,
got all the coins.
So far into the episode. Okay.
So they... At first, I think Carly's going to run out of this room. She's going to just run out of here. She's going to come up with an excuse and run. But no, she and Evan both eat the peppers, and they do the kiss for a minute and 41 seconds. And when they pull away, there is a very long string of saliva between them.
So long and sinewy that another couple went on a ziplining date on it.
Oh, perfect.
If you zoom in, you can actually see Christian and Sarah just like, wee.
Only slightly less surreal than what Griffin just said. Actually, what happens is a mime comes out. Not of their mouths, but a mime comes onto the platform where they are, and there's a burst of confetti, and there's acrobats. And it just...
But this is why we bachelor.
No, it's true.
This is the wild, this is hot why we garbage bachelor. That I love. Because why? It's absurd. And I don't mean that in like a... I'm not using that term lightly. It is absurdist art.
Yeah. No, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. They both immediately run to separate bathrooms.
Which I thought was... you know, funsy fun editing. Apparently,
no, Carly actually
got very sick.
Actually got very sick.
Let's drop that in here because we saw this was the segment that we saw during the
After Paradise.
After Paradise. And Carly was like full blown yartzing, and a nurse or a medical attendant was with her putting some like cold packs on her, and she was like, Evan, I don't mean to be rude, but can you just leave me alone and let me be sick? And I was like, yeah. And then we get like a long shot of Evan just like standing on the beach looking up into the chamber where she is, and then he walks back up and takes the cooling pads off of her and like sort of leans in over her, which Carly was not a fan of, because that's not a good time to be romantic.
Yeah, apparently she was just, you know, I mean, you know how it is when you get really sick. Like, she's very hot and sweaty and uncomfortable, and he wants to be comforting, and he does that by putting his hot body on top of her. That is the most
selfish urge, though. When you are sick, my lovely wife, I've been married to for just who even knows how long.
Nobody does.
I leave you alone. Yeah. I'll like go to the store and get you supplies and check and make sure you're all right and tend to you. But that like, I got to be right next to you, touching you the whole time, yeah, softly massaging. That's a you thing. That's not a them thing.
There have been, I'll just say maybe once or twice, separate occasions where Griffin has been very sick during our relationship. Just maybe one or two times
this month.
And I do a favor for Griffin in that I act like I don't hear anything the noise at all.
Is the horrible sounds.
And that's the nicest thing you can do for somebody. That's a relationship tip from Rachel McElroy. So that's their date. And it's miserable. And shortly after, I think Carly decides I need to.
After saying a few more super mean things, like, he gives me erectile dysfunction.
Yeah. So at this point, Jubilee is gone, and Jared picked Emily at the rose ceremony. So Emily and Jared are trying to kind of get to know each other, and they are laying on one of the kind of beach beds. I don't know what you call those things. Little beach bed pavilion. Cabana.
Yeah.
And they are literally going through their favorite numbers and colors.
Hers is 13. Jared's is 15.
Mm-hmm. They both like blue.
Both blue fans,
yeah. As I recall. So Emily tells us, the viewer, that she's waiting on Jared to make a move and that she has all these kind of tricks up her sleeve.
I love these. I was a big fan of this segment.
So she says, like, one thing is, obviously, you treat what he's saying as if it is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. You compliment a lot. You turn your body towards him, and you find kind of a reason to get close to him. She identifies a bug in their proximity and crawls all over him in response to that bug. And then finally, after doing all that, they do kiss.
Yeah. It was sweet. It was sweet.
It was kind of sweet. It felt real juvenile to me, though.
Yeah, so what? This whole fucking project is juvenile.
That's fair. And I had to do something similar to get you to kiss me. So.
That's absolutely true. You said, Griffin, pretend you see a bug. And I was like, what?
What?
What are you talking about? Turn your body towards me. Jesus, you're being very direct.
Tell me all your favorite colors in order.
What's your favorite number? I don't know, 20 or 21. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Josh and Amanda get back from their date, their yacht date, and Nick talks to Josh and says, hey, just so you know, like, I was super into Amanda. And Josh is like, cool, you know, and he's like, kind of like, whatever, I'm not doing anything about that. And Nick talks about how Josh is super obnoxious, and Josh is kind of unapologetic and like immediately kisses Amanda in front of everybody and Nick and kind of declares his claim on her.
And I know you're only using the parlance of the show, but the whole like the show is now doing a thing of Nick versus Josh again, because the show is only allowed to have three storylines for the whole fucking franchise throughout the fullness of time. But like, it wasn't until, I forget, I think it was actually Leah in this after show thing. They were all asking, like, who their favorite couples were so far. And she was like, oh, it's Josh and Amanda. And they're like, really? Josh, not Nick? And she was like, yeah, because, like, Amanda likes Josh. It's like, yeah. Has anybody checked with Amanda?
Yeah.
Who she would like to kiss?
No, that's true.
Because, no, let me answer. No, you didn't. Ever. Not one time.
That's very true, yeah.
My girl, and you took her. Well, she likes me, not you. I'm the better kiss man. You lost. I'm the bigger eagle.
Yeah, the only thing, and this may be happening off screen, is there seems to be no point where Amanda goes to Nick and says, hey, I'm really kind of into Josh now, and you're a good guy, but it's not going to happen between us. I think that would have kind of closed the loop. But they make it seem like that never happened.
Who gives a shit? It's paradise. People are going to smooch. People are going to smooch.
No, that's true.
It's not called Bachelor in contractually it's just obligated they're there partnerships.
Together. That's like they're there together on this beach for, I don't know, a day? Month,
maybe? Yeah, I guess so.
So it would be nice to say something. Anyway, next episode.
Oh, yeah, we made it.
Tonight's episode.
Can we move so fast through it?
Yes. So Daniel, now that he is rod-free, Daniel seems to really thrive on a bromance. So he's kind of taken up Nick
as his bro, good.
Which is sweet. Oh, and I will say at the end of the last episode, there's this nice moment with Daniel and the twins that's kind of fun, where they're commenting on his pec muscles.
And counting his six-pack.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's a cute moment. But yeah, Daniel's kind of pot stirring a little bit with Nick, trying to like figure out how he feels about this whole Josh thing. But it just seems like the two of them are having a really, really strong, fun connection, which is nice to watch. Daniel and Sarah are spending more and more time together.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah tells us that she's intrigued by him, which is a good way to describe Daniel's
I think we're effect. All at this point we're all very intrigued by Daniel, what he brings to the table.
So then we've got a new person in paradise, and the new person is Christian,
which you didn't remember.
I did not.
Why I loved Christian so much, and it's because his three goals are to meet and impress Mark Cuban, to spoil his grandchildren, and go into space. He wants to be on his spaceship calling Mark Cuban on his phone while PayPaling his grandkids thousands and thousands of dollars. Just saying, like, what's up now, Mark Cuban? I'm on Pluto. I just made it a planet again. You impressed? I love my kids, my grandkids.
Christian was on JoJo's season just recently.
In case you forgot him, he was here a month ago.
So Christian does the kind of the etiquette thing where he goes to the guys and says, hey, is anybody coupled up? Josh says, I've got Amanda.
Great.
Daniel mentions that he's kind of into Sarah, but he doesn't put like a real strong hold on her.
He doesn't say like, hey, I'm a super vulnerable, super yeah. soft boy, and I need Griffin to protect me, and I like really, really am, I think I'm in love with Sarah, and it's the first time I felt feelings like this in my whole life, and I really am excited to explore.
Which he should have said, because
should have said all that stuff, including me protecting him.
So Christian talks to some women and decides that Sarah is the one that he wants to take on the date. And Sarah kind of gives him the impression that she's open to it, because she says, you know, I'm just here to have fun and meet someone. And so it seems like, you know, it seems like she's open to going on this date. She hasn't made a decision on Daniel yet. So Christian asks her, and they go on this adventure date. That involves not just multiple zip lines, but also rappelling. And then there's water and there's helmets, and it's just a big adventure date. And they seem to have a very good time.
You know, helmets, man. It's a fucking adventure.
Just here's an adventure. Put on a helmet.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
I like Christian. He's a very sweet man.
Yeah, Christian's really into Sarah. Has like a really good time with her. Says that like her confidence is really sexy, and they do some makeouts and kisses, and it seems like things are going well.
But he did like sort of step into my favorite romance on the show. So I will begrudge him that.
You're not fans of Vinny and Izzy?
No. I think it's fine. They've gotten no screen time whatsoever. No. And they're not going to get like a date unless they date the whole time.
It is. It's like Jade and Tanner. It's
Jade and Tanner, man.
Yeah. So Carly, at this point, wakes up day after the Pepper date and decides she's going to tell Evan. She doesn't want to lead him on.
This is one of the most mature things that happened in the show, and this was one part that actually the producers tried to interfere with that maturity by cutting in like the how should I phrase this? By cutting in things that they had said previously on the last episode to make it sound like they were saying them again. So Evan was like, when I think of Carly, I just get butterflies and explosions. And it's like, that's what he said the last time. Either he just keeps it. And then literally just like Carly saying, Evan gives me erectile dysfunction. So unless she's like using her own joke, like trying to catchphrase it out and being like super shitty about it, or way more likely the producers are just like editing these things in and not showing them saying them.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, this is maybe, I don't know, do you think they've been there 4 days at this point?
Not very long at all.
Yeah, so there's no way in which she's been leading him on, you know, and but she wants to do the responsible thing and cut it off, and she leaves no ambiguity and says to him, I want to be your friend. I'm not romantically interested in dating you. You know, I don't feel the chemistry I was expecting to feel, and I didn't know that until our date last night. I mean,
Evan says, well, obviously, that is very hurtful, and now
yeah,
I'm going
like,
to go up.
Yeah, he's tough. This is hard to hear.
I'm going to go upstairs now. And she says, okay. And that's it.
Yeah. It's like the most mature breakup.
But for both of them. Both of them. I mean, good on Evan for not, like, doing the thing that literally every person has done on this show when somebody breaks up with them, which is just, like, either irrational anger or just making them fucking twist in the wind for how dare you not like me. Just making them feel awful about not liking them.
Yeah,
and
no.
And trying to make them feel guilty for not liking them.
No, he doesn't turn it back on her or,
no, he's just like, I'm gonna
get
go
angry.
I would like to go away. And she says, okay.
Yeah, and it shows him go back to his room, and he seems to seriously be thinking, well, you know, I thought it was her. It's not her. Should I stay or should I leave? Is there anybody left for me? And he kind of marinates on that for a little while. And so then it's time for somebody else to arrive, and a man walks up to Chris Harrison, who is there to greet him. And this is Brandon from Desiree's season. And even Chris Harrison refuses to acknowledge that he is at all familiar.
Is this the deepest pull that they've done?
I don't think so, because I think I remember Brandon.
No, but for this season of Bachelor in Paradise, this is...
Oh, back to Dez? Is that the oldest?
Dez, I think so, right?
Well, was Dez... No, Dez was on Sean's season, and Sarah is from Sean's season. Right?
Yes.
Because we thought Dez and Sean had a big connection, and then nothing happened with them, and then Dez got her own.
I just can't keep it straight, babe.
Anyway, I think... And then Carly...
Who even knows what season Carly was on? Juan Pablo's season, maybe?
I think Juan Pablo.
God, I just don't know.
Is that possible? Yeah. No?
No. It's not important.
It's not important. Okay, so... So I think I remember Brandon from Dez's season. I think Brandon had kind of a sad story, and had a connection, but then it fizzled out quickly.
He told
Chris Harrison that, he might be most memorable, because he wore a thong in the Soulja Boy video,
which is our theme song,
as Rosebuddy's fans know.
Yeah, you probably know that song better than anybody else in the whole world, other than maybe Brandon, who probably like hears it in his head every time he goes to sleep at night. Brandon also, in the third episode of Dez's season, told her that he was falling in love with her, and she summarily sent him packing.
So Carly is excited to see Brandon. She doesn't recognize him, but she does realize that Brandon was on the same season that her brother was on. Because in case you didn't know, Carly's brother, Zach, was also a contestant on Dez's season. So Carly thinks, hey, this is my chance to find a gentleman. So she talks to Brandon for a while. Brandon also talks to Haley, and Brandon ends up picking Haley.
Yes, which Carly is very upset about. She says, this is not a good season for me. And it's hard to feel, I, Carly, you're still a good audience surrogate, but I think you're kind of mean to Evan. And now this is just some dramatic irony.
There's a point when you've been around the franchise long enough that people start to view you less as a romantic option and more as just like a
character,
like an alumni,
kind
of like, oh, look, it's you, I've seen you before, so Haley gets to go on the date with Brandon. Meanwhile, Emily is back having one beer and apparently getting kind of drunk, which is funny for everybody.
That was a fun scene, yeah.
Yeah. Emily just, she just like gets real like friendly and goofy, and they all braid her hair and talk about how great she is.
Yeah.
So Daniel is still kind of smarting from Christian's date with Sarah and breaks out some Danielisms, saying, you know, the male birds are swooping down for scraps, which scraps.
Come on, Daniel, you're better than that, bud.
And Daniel says, you know, but I'm going to come in like an eagle going in for the kill, which
is hilarious because he then proceeds to romance Sarah under one of those cabanas with some chocolate covered strawberries and champagne. And then he opens up about how he feels like nobody really gets him and how uncomfortable he is around people. And how he feels, like, lonely all the time. And it's like, wow, yeah, bud, going in for that kill. Ooh, that proud eagle. I just feel like nobody really understands me, and, like, I feel isolated because of it. Going in for the kill.
Daniel's brand of kind of clueless humor, like, really tickles Sarah. And it's hard not to be kind of charmed by it. So, like, when they're walking into this cabana, Sarah's like, oh, did you do this for me? And Daniel's like, oh, I paid some local. This is really cute.
It's like, okay, let's talk about Daniel, because I feel like we're going to get some shit for double standards.
I know.
For, like, because Rod said rough shit, too. But, like, I don't think Daniel said anything that rough. I think his is coming from a place of absolute insecurity. Because that first episode, like, he was being gross. He was like, there's some... said something about, like, rotten fruit, and he was waiting for fresh produce or some...
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that I think that is more to say more about Daniel's mastery of allusion and metaphor and simile than it is about, like, the content of his character. But there really is, like, there's a certain goofiness to him that... It is who he is. Like, he is a goofy... He's just, like, a goofy dude. And it's not, like, a guy who is cruel... Or, no, like, yeah. Exceedingly selfish, who uses goofiness as, like, a mechanism to disarm people so that they can get away with shit. Like, I, honest to God, buy into the fact that Daniel's just a huge goober.
Yeah.
And that is why I don't sense, like, an inch of malice in him.
Yeah, I don't think he has a lot of experience with women. It doesn't seem like he's comfortable or knows how to talk to women. It seems like he says a lot of things that he's heard or that he thinks are things that people say.
Yeah.
And Sarah seems to get that. She's like, you know, he's just really weird, and I'm surprised that I feel the way that I do about him. But yeah, she seems really torn between Daniel and Christian at this point. And it's just kind of like, you know, Christian seems perfect for me in almost every way, but then Daniel seems... you know, like somebody that is fun and funny and surprises
it's
me.
This is like, man, this is why we Bachelor. This is like I'm being genuine this time because this is the kind of narrative that only this show can do. This is the story and the character arc that only this show can pull off. And it's genuinely like, it's sweet. It's weirdly very sweet, and I'm sure I say this in the next episode, he comes out and, like, does something fucking horrible. Right?
That's what's so risky about Daniel.
I know. But, like, in this moment, it's sweet, and it was a moment that, like, you and I were just like, aw, and in the Roast Buddies group, like, everybody was like, I'm Daniel, my boy, Daniel, I want to adopt him, and I want to wrap him up in a blanket and just hold him. Like, that's the kind of stuff that only this show can do, and it's such a bummer that, like... It has moved kind of away from that direction.
I know, because I'm happy with this. I don't need anything crazy.
With the stuff that's happened in these two, yeah.
So two more eventful things happen that are worth mentioning. So Haley goes on the date with Brandon. They decide to do a switcheroo.
They parent trap him, but good.
Yeah, Haley says, oh, let's see if Brandon's really into me. Let's do a switch and see if he can tell the difference.
Because Brandon's bragging. He's like, I can tell you apart.
Yeah, Brandon's like, you know, I really, I I specifically like you, Haley. You're the one that I want.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Thank you.
Rachel literally looked up at me like, come on.
And yeah, and so they're having a date. It seems to be going okay, although Haley clearly isn't super psyched, or else she wouldn't have done this to Brandon, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it seems like a mean thing to do to her.
So yeah, so they're at the table. Haley gets up. Emily sits down in her place in her the outfit she was wearing. Brandon says, hey, let's go take a walk. They go out on the balcony. Brandon talks about what a great time he's having and then seems to be positioning himself for a kiss. Emily kind of quickly...
She says, I don't do that on first date. I'll take a kiss on the cheek,
really slow.
You never figured it out. And unless I looked away and missed it, they never reveal their ruse.
No.
Which is, like, that's actually weirdly Machiavellian.
I know.
They're just going
to
hang...
Haley tells the viewer, she's kind of like, well, I don't know what to do now because Brandon didn't notice.
Yeah, there is no exit strategy there. Now, in their defense... In Brandon's defense, I've been watching the show for a very long time, and I hope this is not an awful thing to say, but I cannot tell them apart either.
I know.
Brandon has...
You know, when Emily came and sat down, I felt like maybe
you have no way of having
being unbiased
about that.
Their speech or their teeth are a little different. There was something, I was looking at her mouth, and I was listening, and it seemed...
Because you knew to look, because you knew it was a different person.
I know.
This was, like, the only day this person has known... The Emily and Haley, so like it's kind of fucked up. Like there's no way he would have passed
that
test.
Well, this might be disrespectful towards twins, so I apologize. But if I were a twin, I would like do my hair a little different.
We talked about this last time. Sports Mary Kate, business Ashley, or maybe reverse that. I'm not sure who can keep them straight.
They do the exact same thing with their hair and wear very similar clothes, and it's difficult.
Yeah.
And so the next
thing... They don't wear a sweater with an E and an H on it. And it's like, come on, guys. They don't wear name tags.
One of them doesn't wear glasses.
Yeah.
So the next thing that happens, we see Evan kind of psyching himself up. He knows that he has to get back out there if he wants to stay because the women have the roses. So we keep cutting back and forth between Evan trying to figure out, who am I going to approach? Who makes the most sense? I know who I'm going to approach. It's going to be Amanda. And then we cut to Amanda making out with Josh. And then we cut back to Evan, and Evan's putting on cologne, and he's writing out a little date card for Amanda. And then we cut back to Amanda, and she's making out with Josh. And then we cut back to Evan, and Evan's writing on the date card, Evan, you deserve love. Take Amanda to the treehouse. And then kind of patting himself on the back for acknowledging that he deserves love. And then we cut back to Amanda, and Amanda's making out with Josh. And so Evan's kind of psyched up, and he's decided he's going to go for it. He's walking up to them making out, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And then we get a big to be continued.
And then based on that, well, let's not get too deep into it because we've been going so long, but it seems like things do not go super great.
No, Josh is not receptive to Evan's interjection.
Yeah. But I would love to hear what Amanda thinks, though. But unfortunately, we don't get any time to figure that out.
Hopefully, at some point, Amanda will start speaking to the camera.
Say anything!
Hopefully, she will say something and let us know how she feels about anything. I would like that.
Let's just burn down, like, seriously, 2 minutes.
Okay.
I feel like we've broken out the most salient details of the after show. And to be quite frank, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't even want to watch the after show anymore. Like, I think maybe we can just say sort of carte blanche right now. Like, we're just not going to watch and talk about it anymore because it was fucking soul crushing.
First of all, Chris Harrison usually hosts the after show, and you usually get some clips you don't get to see during the episodes. And sometimes there'll be some cool celebrities on it. All of this makes it fun. Chris Harrison was not hosting this one, which I like to think he did intentionally, but he probably just had a conflict. Instead, it was a woman they've had host before.
I can't remember her name.
She's actually like a pretty funny person.
Yeah, no, she's... Well, usually...
Usually.
She was there with Sean Lowe,
who we usually like of Sean and co-host. Catherine.
Yeah, he's one of our favorite couples that have come out of this show. And he's usually been like a fairly...
So like nice, we mentioned, dude. Jubilee was on, Leah was on, Sarah Jubilee, was on.
Jubilee, you're a torch, you're a beautiful light, you're a beautiful shining star. You were chewing roast beef or something for the first like 5 minutes that you were on the camera, and it made me really, really uncomfortable. So Jubilee was on first, and they were talking to her, and she was just being super real, and they asked her about Rod, and she was like, I don't think Rod should be on the show anymore. He's like an abusive dude. Like, she was, every time they asked her anything, cause she was on the couch the entire hour, like, she would drop some like truth about Rod, that was like,
yeah,
thank God fucking somebody here is saying shit like this.
She acknowledged what we kind of assumed, which is she had no idea that Rod was as disturbed as he was until she watched the show and was like, oh yeah, this guy has a lot of serious problems.
She just sort of played the whole thing like she just didn't think the dude should be there, because the dude was there for like
the problem most of it. The problem with After Paradise was that they brought Rod out, and then they tried to make his, what they seemed to define as antics, seem cute and fun, and they kept giving him opportunities to apologize or explain himself.
The two co-hosts were just like, every time he would half-heartedly apologize while still blaming his shit on other people, they would be like, wow, that was, you know, that was a nice moment. Despite the fact that Rod would be, so they bring out Rod, and Rod like talks for a while about his shit and how he's a victim of, you know, everybody, of Lace turning it on him, and like he thought Lace was on. This is the crazy shit. Like, they tried to make it seem like it was a he said, she said thing. Like, to the point where they had Rod out first, and Rod was just like, yeah, you know, I thought Lace was on my team, and she just like went behind my back, and it was just like, then I felt like I couldn't say, like, everybody was telling me what I couldn't say. And it's like, that's fine, dude. You told Sarah to suck a dick.
Yeah.
And like, how is that? Lace's fault.
Yeah.
But then Sean and the other co-hosts were just like, yeah, well, let's get Lace out here and hear her side of the story. Her side of the story? What are you talking about? It's more of this show like trying to play this off like this is the usual like conflicts that happen on this show when it's super duper duper wicked not. They know it's not. Or else they wouldn't still be talking to Rod. They wouldn't have Rod be this like folk hero if they didn't know that like he had gone above and beyond like what shit people usually get up to on this show.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're treating it like it's any other conflict they've ever had on the show, and it's definitely, definitely not. We have watched years of this show now, and this is definitely different.
And then to bring Lace out there as like a time for you two to just really squash this thing, meet face to face. And Lace, to her credit, like held her own and was like,
yeah,
no, like
there was this gross moment where they were like, Lace, does Rod deserve another chance? And Lace is like, no, absolutely not. And they're like, well, but you got a second chance. And Lace is like, no.
No.
No,
super, that's like, super duper not the same thing. And after the next commercial break, Sean mentioned, like, I'm picking up some sexual tension here. Shut the fuck up, dog!
Yeah.
Sean?
Yeah, the whole thing felt really uncomfortable. And then they bring Sarah out, and Rod finds a way to somehow blame Sarah.
Rod apologizes. He's like, you know, I apologize on Twitter. And they, like, Sean showed him the tweets that he was like, I shouldn't have said that thing that was fucked up about her being a one-armed B-word. And then showed the very next tweet, which was like, but it was hilarious though, right? It's the exact, and then he apologized. He was like, I do apologize, but Sarah was following me around the whole time, telling me what I couldn't say. Well, obviously it didn't stick, you fucking dick.
Yeah, And so Sarah accepts his apology and then starts to kind of try and talk about more of what happened and what has happened since, and they kind of cut her off and are like,
hey, well, let's not ruin this nice moment.
Yeah, like, that was really a nice moment between you and Rod, and let's go ahead and call that.
I don't want to talk.
Then they ask Rod to get off set, which felt like weird. They kept doing this thing where they were like, we're really gonna take him to task on some of the things. Oh, but you know him. But seriously, you shouldn't do that.
They brought on fucking Spencer what's-his-face.
Yeah, Spencer Pratt.
Blue Hills. It was just like, you know, man, it's just that, like, it's that military humor. You wouldn't get it. Jubilee, active military, sitting right the fuck there. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Alex and Luke, both veterans. Like, no, dog. Just this whole thing was a parade. When before we tuned into ABC like 10 minutes before, and Entertainment Weekly, I guess, or Extra, who the fuck knows, was on before, and they were like interviewing Rod, like, here's some talks about you getting a spinoff show. And I heard that and I was like, if that happens, if ABC does a spinoff show for Chad, we can't, like,
yeah, you just said his name again.
Oh no. Well, that was, I think that's our first one we've done so well. It's because we've been going for the full calendar month on this episode.
Yeah.
That one had to sneak in eventually. They said, Rod, we heard you're getting a spinoff show. And it's like, if that, ABC, if you do that, like, I don't think I'm going to watch the show anymore. And then Rose Buddies will probably become like a Quantum Leap fan cast or something.
Oh my God, Griffin, don't tease me.
I'm only half joking. Like, people have started watching this franchise because of this podcast. If they get, like, if they did that, that would be so horrible. And I sort of, like, said, like, oh, that's just Rod being Rod, you know, lying to boost his personal brand. This hour of television was so pro-Rod in a way that, like, the show hasn't necessarily been up to this point, where the two hosts were doing everything in their power to get him off the hook for everything he said and did, and trying to make it sound like it was a two-sided thing. Like, that's inarguable. They were trying to make this sound like it was a two-sided thing,
yeah,
which is bananas.
No, ABC is really trying to manipulate the audience right now into thinking, because they recognize, I feel like ABC recognizes now, oh, not only is Rod an awful person, but he's making us as a network look bad. And the only way we can think to address this is to keep bringing him on and making it seem like it's this big joke. And then maybe everybody will think it's a big joke and they'll stop blaming us as a network.
I don't even think they're that self-aware. I think they are thinking this dude's good ratings. And if we could do a show with him every Wednesday night, like, that's because I'm sure it's true. But he's also fucking, like, I can't imagine watching this show in good conscience if they embrace him to that degree, or even to the degree that they did. Like, I'm not going to watch this fucking after show again, that's for sure, because it was a miserable hour. Like,
I keep thinking it's over. I keep thinking, surely that's it. Like, surely that's it. Surely tonight was the last night, and he keeps appearing again. And I don't know. I can't confidently say anymore that was the last we've seen of him.
And somehow they're getting grosser about him. The two sides argument treatment tonight was that, like, I don't get how you watch that one episode, or how you make that one episode of Bachelor in Paradise and said, like, well, but let's hear his side of the story. No, there is no other side of the story.
Yeah, Lace gave a really kind of clear, concise explanation of kind of what happened. Because they started to say, oh, well, Lace really did kind of turn it on you. What was that about? And Lace is like, I recognize my behavior was gross and I decided to stop. And when I decided to stop, he kind of continued. And they show footage of her trying to kind of confront Rod and say, hey, you need to do something about this. Like, Lace drew from her own experience and said, like, I've been this person on this show before, and it's not great, and I don't want to be this person again. She was really classy and composed, and it was just sad to act as if it was like an even debate between the two. That was giving him way more courtesy than he deserved.
There is no, like, even if she hadn't been classy, like there's no bad thing she could have, like, even if she'd
yeah,
been
no,
like
I know.
Even if she'd like really genuinely, like, I don't know, let him on to just to like manipulate him or toy with him or whatever, there's no fucking justification for what that dude
No, I know.
We've gone so much longer than 2 minutes, and I feel guilty because, like, the last thing I want to do is talk about this guy. But I don't even give a shit about the dude anymore, because I know there's going to be a day, or at least I have this hope in my heart that there will be a day where, like, we don't talk about him during this podcast anymore, because it's a fucking bummer. The bigger bummer is, like, ABC is just, like, no holds barred. ABC has, like, no self-awareness about like what a rat bag this dude is, and not only that, now seems to be like doing PR for him.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
And why? Because if you I swear to God, like, I have no more like patience in me for this dude. Yeah. I genuinely don't know what to do about it. If he like rolls up next season of The Bachelorette, like Nick did, like, I'm not gonna watch. I don't want to watch that.
Oh man, I didn't even think about that.
There's so many ways. They brought back much lesser like characters than Rod, and used them over and over again. Like that's what bums me out now. Like we do this podcast about it, and like it that so we're invested in that way. But this is also a TV show that like. You and I first started watching when we were dating. Like, we've watched this show for a super long time, and it is Breaking Bad in such a miserable way. And I tweeted stuff along these lines tonight, and I had lots of like fairly condescending people saying like, "It's always been this bad. You have no idea. You just didn't realize the facade." Like, no, guys, trust.
Yeah, like, it's remember Chris Bukowski, for example.
Chris Bukowski used to be like, what a villain. What? No.
He would show up all the time, and people didn't like him, and he drank too much. And he was the villain, and he kept coming back, and everybody's like, oh, that guy. But
in the last season of Bachelor in Paradise, the villain was Joe, and he was a villain because he was, like, kind of an aggressive guy, I guess, and kind of a rat bag. But mostly because he had worked it out with another woman who was going to be there, that they were both going to be there and they should hook up once they get there. And everybody was so incensed about that. Yeah. That was the villainy. Not this. So anyway, thanks for listening to the Bachelor podcast. I hope we're not just fucking constant downers constantly. But
yeah, I hate it.
Like, I don't like being that either, but like, I'm genuinely worried about this show.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're trying to get across when we talk about this stuff. Like, obviously, it's gross, and Griffin and I don't condone any of this behavior. But it's also like watching a show that you really care about self-destruct and make choices that make you feel bad as a viewer for enjoying it as much as you used to.
Tragically, is also like, oh, we have so many of our fields are gone fallow. Because Unreal has made some choices this season, and fucking Ato is like gone completely off the rails.
Yeah, yeah, just it's like not.
We don't have
a lot of great summer television happening right now.
If it weren't for Stranger Things, I think we'd just like sell that boob tube. You know what I mean? This has been the Ten Commandments of podcasts.
How long have we been recording?
Like an hour and 36 minutes.
Okay, great.
Thanks for listening, Rose Buddies. I hope to God
this
for
a
little
be...
bit of levity next week.
Right, more Daniel and Sarah.
More Daniel, more Sarah. Just let that love story
maybe
blossom.
Maybe Nick finds somebody.
Oh, you know who's rolling up in the set is Kyla 002.
Yes, we got a tie.
Firmware upgrade.
We got a teaser that Kyla is showing up, and she is in demand.
In demand. Everybody's just feeling it.
Just with that big, beautiful hair that she has just blowing
beautiful
in the ocean.
Hair, right?
Ocean breeze.
That's good in the breeze, the oceanic breeze.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Do you remember when we used to talk about this show and we'd hypothesize which ones were robots created by toy manufacturers?
What a simpler time that was.
Anyway, thanks for listening to Rose Buddies. Maybe go back and listen to those old episodes and just have some fucking fun with it. Anything we want to talk about? I can't. We got to just end it.
Oh, hey, thanks. I put a comment in the Facebook group, but somebody from a chocolate shop in Nashville sent us some delicious truffles. I believe his candy company is called Blushing Berry that he runs with his wife, and they were delicious. And thank you very much.
Been eating them nonstop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks everybody who sent stuff to the P.O. Box. We appreciate it. It's P.O. Box 66639, Austin, Texas, 78766. We done?
We are done. I'm Rachel McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
When you're ready.
Stay with us on this journey of joy.
Spoiler alert.
She ends up with Soulja Boy.
Right Reese's. Right Reese's. Can't you go?